Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Amran's Podcast, episode 155. Today is Tuesday, May 12, 2009. It's been almost 2 weeks since my last solo podcast, and the reason for that is, as longtime listeners will know, the first week of the month is the busiest week of the month for me, work-wise, and I just didn't have time to record a solo episode. I only had time for the two political episode I did with Jason. And that happens sometimes in some months. No particular reason why this month was so busy. It just was. So, you know, it happens sometimes. But I'm back now, and because it's been almost 2 weeks, I thought that I would just do some updates today. I'll tell you some things that had been in the news that caught my eye, and just a few other bits and pieces. And what better place to start than Mother's Day? Actually, the reason I'm laughing is that Mother's Day is the same as it is in the U.S. The date is the same, which surprised me because Father's Day isn't, and I couldn't tell you off the top of my head when Father's Day is in New Zealand. I just know it's a different time of year. I have no idea why that is. It may be a seasonal thing. Probably is a seasonal thing, but I don't know then why Mother's Day is where it is. It doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, what we did is on Saturday afternoon, Nigel and his sister and I drove down to his mum's house in Pairoa, where their mum lives, and we stayed with her Saturday night, and then on Sunday, Nigel basically made lunch for his mom and two sisters actually were there. And then we went home on Sunday afternoon, and that was pretty much that, just sort of a low-key kind of thing. But that's what we did. And there is not a whole lot in the personal news category to pass on. We're now firmly moving into winter, which is not a good thing in my book. I do not like winter. But I've mentioned before about the zones of New Zealand, the climatic zones or whatever, which is relevant for things like building standards and so on. Well, I actually saw a map of that the other day, and it turns out that the Bombay Hills, which is a region just south of Auckland, from there north all the way to the tip of the North Island, is the warmest zone in the country, the warm zone. And the next warmest is the rest of the North Island, apart from the middle of it, around Lake Taupo, and that area is called the Central Plateau, which is the coldest zone, as is the entire South Island. Now, most of that is important for things like heat pumps and also for insulation and double glazing and stuff like that. The requirements for that sort of stuff go up as you go into colder zones. And we have the laxest codes because we're in the warmest part of the country. But I'll tell you, in the middle of winter, it's not the sort of place I think of as being warm. But so moving into winter is not a good thing in my book, but, you know, what can you do? But there were some things in the news that I wanted to share. And one of them was that recently Auckland came out as fourth equal best city in the world to live in. And I've blogged about this, and it's a funny thing. We were in the same position last year, and of course, Sydney was at 10 and Wellington was at 12. So it's kind of funny to Aucklanders that we outranked Sydney as a place to live. But, you know, it's like with so many other things like this, New Zealanders don't really care much about it. New Zealanders like to get some world attention. And they certainly like kudos for things that they do, like, say, Lord of the Rings, for instance. But they don't live or die based on the approval of the rest of the world. Because, I mean, New Zealand is sort of off here in a corner of the world almost by itself, and it doesn't really matter to New Zealanders what the rest of the world thinks. But they do kind of like it when somebody somewhere in the world says nice things about them. Be that as it may, New Zealanders also have a strong sense of humor, especially about themselves. And it is okay with New Zealanders if New Zealanders make fun of New Zealanders, but it's not okay if Australians do it. And vice versa, probably. But as part of this whole, we call it piss-taking, taking the piss, making fun of, there were a bunch of people who got together and recorded a song about Auckland being the fourth best city in the world. And it's a fundraiser for a children's medical charity called Kids Care. But it's being promoted by a candy company. And because there's a commercial aspect to it, I'm reluctant to put in a link specifically to it. But I probably will because there's a video that goes with it. And hopefully, it's viewable outside of New Zealand, because the song and the video in particular really sort of get to the heart of Kiwi humor. It's really irreverent. It's sarcastic. It's a bit ironic, all those kinds of things. And so I'm hoping that you'll be able to see it, because it it does sort of encapsulate a lot of what Kiwi humor is all about. Now, I'm going to play a 30-second snippet of the song so you get a feel for what I'm talking about. I can't play anymore because it is copyrighted. It's not Creative Commons or in the public domain or anything like that. And they are selling it for a charity, as I said. And you can actually buy a copy if you want to, from the website link, although I don't know if it's available outside of New Zealand. But you can give it a go if you're feeling generous. It's $1.99 New Zealand, whatever that is, American right now, I don't know. Actually, I can tell you. How about that? It is, well, it's about 89 euros. Hang on a second. It is $1.21, we'll say, in U.S. money. So anyway, here's that little snippet of song. Okay, so you get the general idea of that and what the song is about. It's just taking the piss. It's having a bit of fun. There is one line in there where they manage to work in the sponsor's name and product. And there's a lot of funny throwaway lines that they use as well, including one that the mayor of Auckland City made, where he said there are two kinds of people, those who live in Auckland and those who want to. At least I think he was kidding. Anyway... This was one particular survey, and that was one particular response. Why they never noticed until this year, I don't know. But anyway, there was another survey that also came out of the 10 best countries in the world, the 10 happiest countries in the world. And New Zealand was eighth on that list. The United States, nor Australia, were on that list, actually. But New Zealand was eighth. And... This is another one of those things that New Zealanders are like, oh, yeah, well, whatever. And it's somewhat legitimately based. It's essentially trying to categorize well-being. It's looking at how satisfying people find their lives to be. And New Zealand came out eighth. In case you want to know the whole list, at number 10 was Belgium, number 9 was Norway, number 8 New Zealand, number 7 Switzerland, number 6 Canada, number 5 Ireland, number 4 Sweden, number 3 Netherlands, number 2, Finland, and number 1, Denmark. And I did a blog post on this, and I'll put a link in the show notes where you can also get to my blog post about the fourth equal thing for Auckland City. But I don't know. This kind of thing I always take with a bit of grain of salt, I suppose, like most Kiwis do. But it's, I don't know, it's kind of a funny thing when something like this comes along. And... it gives me the opportunity to talk about the fact that Australia lost out to New Zealand yet again, which is always a good day in my book. But also in the news was a story, totally unrelated, that one-third of New Zealand marriages end in divorce, which was the headline. And I referenced this in a blog post as well, which I'll put a link to in the show notes. That's actually not the part that was all that interesting to me. It was talking about civil unions in the past year, that there are 327 civil unions registered to New Zealand residents in the country, of which 256 were same-sex unions, 111 male and 145 female, and 71 opposite-sex civil unions. Now, the thing that I find fascinating about this is the number of female same-sex unions has pretty much always outnumbered the number of male same-sex civil unions. And I don't know why that is, but nevertheless, it's the case. But when the statistics were released, our own right-wing Christianist group issued a press release, which said basically almost the whole point of the press release was talking about what a, in quote marks, waste of time civil unions were. That the government never should have done it for such a minuscule number of people who take part, because it represents, what, like 1.5% of the total number of people who are married last year were civil unioned instead. And so with such an appallingly small number of people who were interested in that, the government never should have bothered with that, inventing, that was their word, inventing rights for people that didn't exist, and that instead they should have spent their money on strengthening traditional marriage. I'm like, oh, get over yourselves. Mind you, these are the same people who are, they're rabidly anti-abortion, but they're also opposed to the, I've forgotten what it's called, but the inoculation against cervical cancer, the vaccine against cervical cancer, because they say, not because they're worried about the risks or because of potential side effects, but because it would send the message to girls that it's okay to have sex before marriage. I mean, come on. How can any self-respecting group use that as a reason for opposing something like that? If they had some medical concerns, even though they're pretty nonsensical, that's one thing. But to base their argument on the fact that girls might have sex is just, you know, they're willing to let their daughters die rather than, I find it appalling. I really do. But in the same blog post, I was talking about something else that happened. Now, I have to give you a little background. In Australia, there is a TV chat show host called Rove McManus. He's on radio as well. But he has a show on television called Rove Live, and which is broadcast here in New Zealand. And one of the questions he asks his celebrity guests is, who would you turn gay for, whether they're male or female? And the Australian Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, has been on twice, and he's twice ducked the question. Well, a gay publication here in New Zealand called Express asked our Prime Minister, John Key, the same question: who would you turn gay for? And he said, I'm reading a quote now, who would I go gay for? Brad Pitt. Now he's a bit older, he's a bit of a looker. I was going to say Tom Cruise, but someone of his age shouldn't look so young. And and I thought to myself, well, if nothing else, John Key could teach Kevin Rudd a thing or two about playing along with the game. I mean, those answers are a bit obvious for a heterosexual man to give, but still, you know, points for playing along. He was asked about same-sex marriage, and he said that he felt that there was no need to go beyond civil unions, but he didn't oppose gay couples adopting children. And that's an interesting thing, because there are a lot of social conservatives in his party that he leads, the main party of government, the National Party. And under current law, a single gay person can adopt a child. That's legal, just like any other single person. However, a gay couple cannot. And it has nothing to do with marital status as such. It has to do with the laws governing adoption only recognize marriage and not a de facto relationship, which is basically people living together, or a civil union, because civil unions didn't exist when the adoption laws were written. And that's an anomaly in the law that somebody someday is going to have to address. I don't think it's going to be this government, at least not this term, but someday. Gay couples can foster children. They can be guardians of children, court-appointed guardians, but they can't adopt. And that's one of the few things. When I say that marriage in New Zealand, civil unions in New Zealand are almost identical to marriage, that's the almost part. It's pretty much just adoption that is different than heterosexual marriage. So those are the main things I wanted to, I don't know, bring up to date, I suppose, to tell you about, things that I thought were interesting. This is New Zealand Music Month, and I would love to be able to do an episode just about music, and I can't, bottom line. The vast majority of music is copyrighted, and, well, most music is copyrighted anyway, but there is no license to enable me to play it on the podcast. The relevant authorities in New Zealand do offer licensing for broadcasting, obviously, and for broadcasting low-power FM, all those kinds of things, but nothing for internet distribution or podcasting. And it would probably fall under the same licensing as mechanical reproduction, because essentially that's what you're doing when you're creating a podcast. It's not something that just goes out into the airwaves never to be seen again. You know, it's lurking around. And that's probably part of what's behind it. So I can't play any of the songs that I'd like to play to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. I could probably do the 30-second snippet bit, except that New Zealand has no fair use provision in its copyright law. And so even that is potentially on shaky legal ground. Now, I haven't given up hope entirely yet. There's a couple of weeks yet to run this month, and I might be able to put something together before the end of the month. But as it stands right now, I'm just going to have to say, hey, this is New Zealand Music Month, and leave it at that. If you want to do some reading about it, you can sort of go scratching around on the internet. You're bound to find about artists. Some of them are on MySpace and other places, and you may be able to hear about them. There are very few that release their work through Creative Commons or through some sort of PodSafe endeavor. But I haven't given up yet, and we'll see if I can't come up with something by the end of the month. But speaking of upcoming things, some of you may already know this, but there's going to be a podcasting extravaganza at the end of June. June 26th and 27th, I think it is. Podcasters around the world are getting together for this thing that's called Pride 48. It's been coordinated primarily by Daniel Brewer, I think. And I'm taking part in that. And what we're doing is we're going to be live streaming for a period of time over those 48 hours starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time on June 26th and going for 48 hours. Now, I don't know at this stage when I'm going to be doing this. I don't know how long I'm going to be doing it because it depends on how many podcasters want to participate. The limit has been set at 48 because there's 48 hours, and that would obviously then mean I'd be doing it for an hour. But if there aren't 48, then it might be a bit longer. We'll see. But as I said, I don't know what time it's going to be yet, but I will certainly let you know. It's a collaborative effort from gay and lesbian podcasters from across the globe. There's sort of a bare-bones site that's up now at pride48.com with some instructions on how to stream the audio. And the participating podcasts at this stage, and this is only a tentative list, are Dubious Intent, The Adam and Maddie Show, Archer Radio, Big Fatty Online, Live It Up, There's Some Who Call Me Tim, Amarins, The Occasional Fag, Mikey Pod, Little Aussie Battler, Ramble Redhead, JT, That Blue Jeans Guy, Big Gay Sex Show, It's Not Us, It's You, and Vera Speaks For Real. And the various hosts of those shows are participating in this event, which is really kind of, I find it kind of exciting. As far as I know, nothing like this has been attempted before. And I've certainly never done any live broadcast. One aspect of this is that there will be a chat room available. So anybody who does want to listen can chat live with other listeners at the same time, assuming that anybody is listening, whatever my shift is. You never know. But check it out. I will put a link in the show notes for pride48.com. 48 is a number, of course. And it is streaming now when there will be some test streams between now and June. But in the meantime, the most recent show of the participants are being screened, or are being streamed, is the word, through pride48.com. And as I said, you can get the links there to find out how to do that. I listen to it through iTunes myself, but you can do it through QuickTime and through numerous other procedures. So check that out if you're so inclined, and I will keep you updated as to what I'm doing and when I'm doing it. Anyway, now onto the comments, and I would love to play you a phone comment right now, but I don't have any, and I have about another week before the line expires again, so you've got time to make a phone call. But I did get a written comment from Lord Byron, who, you will recall, suggested the topic for last week, or last time, about adaptation, about how I sort of adapted to using essentially British English, British forms of English. And he said, glad you and Nigel are well, and I guess Jake doesn't have to worry about N1H1. Iowa farmers don't call it swine flu. It scares pork producers. What a wonderful surprise to hear about the language transition. You had a much better time of it than I would imagine I would have. In fifth grade, I had an exchange teacher from Scotland, and it was a bit of a struggle for us kids to make sense of some of the things he wrote on the chalkboard. Thanks again for the wonderful show. Again, I learned so much. Well, thank you, Your Lordship. And the first thing that I thought of when I read the comment was that if I had a teacher from Scotland, what was written on the board would have been the least of my worries. Would have been trying to understand the accent. There are times I struggle with Scottish accent, I have to say. South African accent sometimes gives me trouble, but then there are numerous other accents from around the British Isles that I sometimes can't understand. Very often, if I get stuck watching Coronation Street with Nigel and his sister on a Friday night, or Thursday, or whatever the hell it's on now, I'll say, what'd they say? What'd they say? And one time Nigel got so fed up, he turned on the closed captioning so I could read what they were saying. Because the accent, I couldn't understand it. But anyway, yes, I haven't had much trouble with adapting to the spellings or the word usage, as I've said, but there are some things still that give me trouble, and one of those is time. And that's why this episode is called Today's Tomorrow, because I sometimes still have trouble figuring out what is when, time-wise. And one of the things I've done, as you will probably remember, is I've put a clock on both my blog and my podcast site telling you what time it is in New Zealand right now. So if you're ever wondering, I wonder what time it is in New Zealand, you can find out. You can just go to aaronspodcast.com, and in the upper right-hand corner is my little clock, which tells you the day, the date, and the time. But there are times when I need to figure out things back and forth between time. And if I'm not home, if I'm at somebody else's house, I'll use timeanddate.com, which is obviously one word, timeanddate.com. This is a world clock function. It has a meeting planner, so you can work out times in different cities. But on my Mac, I use a widget that's called Time Scroller, which is the best thing. I don't know who wrote it. I'm just having a quick look. But there is a version available for iPhone as well. And it's just really handy for being able to keep track of various cities and their time zones. You don't necessarily even have to use it for world cities, although it's handy. If you just want to keep track of what time it is in various U.S. time zones, you can use it for that as well. I have cities around the world, including one from each of the U.S. time zones, just in case I'm meeting up with somebody on Skype or something, I can see what time it is. And it has a little thingy that you can scroll across the bottom to find out what that changes the time to in the various time zones. And you can email your entire Time Scroller list to somebody else if you want to. So it's very full-featured. My God, that's practically a product endorsement. Anyway, it's a very handy thing when like me, you can't keep track of time zones. But I can see by the clock on the wall that time is running up. Actually, it isn't. I just ran out of things to say. So I'm going to stop here for now. And as I said, I'll be back later this week. And I will be back next week with a Too Political podcast. But that's it for today. I hope you have a great rest of the week. And I'll talk to you later. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Aaron's Podcast at aaronspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at aaronspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.